Everything that has taken place so far in service today is really kind of part of what I'm going to offer you this morning. It's challenging. It was challenging to me. I want to introduce somebody who played a part in this message, and she's sitting right over there with dark hair. Her name is Ellen King, and I broke my hand back in March, and Ellen is my occupational therapist who got it. Help get it working really well now. So I was very surprised to have seen her here this morning. So the title of this lesson is Attitude is Everything, the Beatitudes. And I've offered this lesson at South and last week at Farmington. It's a bit challenging for me, and truthfully, the way that I'm dressed, as most of you know, I'm not quite this formal, and I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. That was part of the message. It's not anymore, because now I'm pretty comfortable, and I really like this. I feel so girly. And as you know, that's somewhat of a challenge to me from time to time. And now to the lesson. You know, I guess it's been a couple of months, probably in April or May, we made the national news, and I was watching the news one night, and I was shocked because, no, it wasn't COVID-related. It was something that was happening out in the school district of Rockwood. Are any of you aware of it? I see some nods. I see a nod in the back. Otherwise, okay. So what had happened in the Rockwood School District made the national news. What the school board in Rockwood apparently did, and I wasn't quite sure just watching the news, but apparently some parents, some white parents, felt that their school superintendent and school board were teaching what they described as radical race theory. And I'm not going to go into what that is. From my perspective, what I could garner from the discussion was that the school board decided to try to teach the children about racism, the history of racism in this country, how it began, how it developed, and how it perpetuated up to this day. The parents of children of color were like, yeah, okay, I get that. The white parents, not so much so. There was a young white father who, I guess he was in his late 30s, early 40s, maybe, enough to have, you know, school kids. And he stood up and he said, "What you are teaching my child is white shaming. They are ashamed. You're teaching them to be ashamed for being white." And I understood exactly where that man was coming from. I, too, am a white parent. And it's a scary thing. But I happen to be the white parent of an African-American child. And so I've also seen things a little bit differently than most of my white counterparts. Not because I wanted to. Not because I even knew that there was a different perspective. But because my daughter, that lovely child, because we're using the they-them pronouns now, my child forces me to see myself by holding that mirror up in front of my face and say, "Look at yourself. Listen to what comes out of you, because I've been listening to you. And you are in error." That white father, as soon as that came up, you could see, okay, with your spiritual eye, the bricks just building, right? The fortress that was going around him. Why? Because he was terribly uncomfortable. Have you ever been in that position where all of a sudden something comes up and it's, oh my gosh, I don't want to deal with this. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong? What if I have opinions that are different than others? And I understood that. But it seems to me, let me step back. Do any of you watch Grey's Anatomy? Okay, there's a character, more recent. His name is Tom Karasik. He's a neurosurgeon. He thinks he's God's gift to everything. But his character recently went through COVID and came out the other side, a changed man. And he said about just this issue, the world is like the way it is because people who look like I do made it this way. And the world stays the way it is because people who look like me allow it to continue. That got my attention as well. This is the challenge of our time. And it needs to be talked about. There are two things that are necessary to effectuate good and positive change, and they're very simple. One, we have got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. If we cannot get comfortable being uncomfortable, folks, nothing will change. And the second thing that we have to have is tools that allow us to make those changes. So we need to decide to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Without that, there's no moving forward. But then we need the tools. We're lucky. Because we have the tools. They're found in Scripture. They were given to us by our way shower, because attitude is everything. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is nothing less than a technology that worked 2,000 years ago, and if we allow it, will work to this day. A lot of the ideas that I'm going to be describing come from this wonderful book, The Sermon on the Mount, by Emmett Fox, and also by a guy that I heard on YouTube during a TED Talk, of all things. His name is Dane Barclay. It was a very interesting talk on how to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I didn't know that these things existed online, but I guess you can find anything now. So let's start with the Beatitudes. The way shower, right, Jesus, gets up on the mount, and, you know, Jesus was a Jew. He was a very good Jew. He was a very devout Jew. He knew all the Jewish Mosaic laws, the 613 things, you know, that devout Jews do. They're prescribed in Hebrew scripture. They mostly deal with external things that's supposed to have internal, to effectuate internal change, to become closer to God. And Jesus said, after the Sermon on the Mount, shortly after in Scripture, that he wasn't there to abolish that law, he's there to perfect it. And what he says in the Beatitudes is that, folks, it's an internal job. What he's offering us to this day is a series of attitude changes. And he tells us what effect that those changes are going to have on the universe if we choose to follow him. So let's start. I don't know if you all have read them, but there's a few, so please be patient with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Okay, now, got those? I'm only going to talk about five and a half of them. There's about 10, 8 or 10, depending. I'm going to start with poor in spirit. Poor in spirit does not sound like Eeyore, you know, kind of glum. Poor in spirit is when you empty yourself of all desire to exercise personal, small s, self-will. Anybody who has attended a Unity class knows what I'm talking about. The little self-will that says, I'm right. It doesn't matter what you say, Pat, I'm right. It'd be like me saying to Ellen over there, I know how to heal my hand. I don't have to go through those exercises. I know I'm right. I have a viewpoint, and that viewpoint is without error. Being poor in heart means that in practice, we are going to set aside habitual ways of thinking, a worldview that, while it may work for us, works for no one else, not in full. Being pure in spirit is anything that keeps us away from finding God, from finding good. That is pure in spirit. Where is your attention? Is it on yourself and getting what you want done totally to the exclusion? And I'm not saying you, I'm talking to myself here too. That's what my kid has taught me. Am I going to keep being so focused on I know best to the exclusion of all others? When I change my mind, and when we as a people change and allow ourselves to surrender, which is what this is, Jesus says we inherit the kingdom of heaven. And all of us sitting here knows that the kingdom of heaven is not something that we have to die to get to. It's right here. It's right there inside the hearts of each and every one of you sitting here. I see it right now. Don't miss out. When we see that when we get that realization of that omnipresent good that's inside all of us, all of us, all of us, we get calm. And therein lies the kingdom of heaven. So where is your attention at? The meek. Okay, what's meekness? What do you think when you think of a meek person? Anybody? No? I think of somebody who isn't strong. So they lack courage. They're submissive, right? Like a cowering dog. almost to the point that they have no self-respect. Meek people, you just walk all over them. But yet we teach that Jesus was meek. If Jesus is meek, I don't see it as being not courageous, weak, submissive. Submissive? The way she word? I don't think so. So what was he doing when he used the word meek? He means an attitude of open-mindedness. You are so comfortable with surrender that you can actually allow in, right? It's surrender and allow. You allow in. Trust in what? Divine will, not self, little s, self-will. You got to be willing to allow. When we are willing to allow, and that becomes our normal experience, instead of building those walls, what are at the earth? That's kind of bold. It's brash. It's kind of gutsy. It's revolutionary. Then and now. Because to inherit the earth, if you have a group of people who surrender self-will and instead allow in that force of divine will, do you have war? Do you have hate? Do you have pain? Oppression? No. War becomes peace. Hate becomes love. And oppression becomes liberation for all of us. Merciful. That's still a no-brainer. I give mercy, I get mercy back. But it also means that we need to be merciful with ourselves. This is not to be guilt-ridden. No, that's not what any of this is about. It's a calling, like we just listened to something higher, to the power that is within, and to be simply kind. Just to be kind to one another, sure. But as the video said that Lewis picked out, to everyone. Let that light shine to everyone. That includes kindness. The pure in heart. So where's your attention at? Make it the new normal, right? To just be kind. Pure in heart. This isn't just a physical thing. Jesus isn't talking about pure of body here. He's talking about pure of heart. A recognition that there is but one power, one presence in the universe and in my life. What is that one power? We say it every Sunday. God, the good omnipotence. It's an attitude of singleness of purpose, of wholeheartedly grasping on to that basic principle, that basic truth that we say every Sunday, and holding on to it and holding nothing back for love. When we do that, Jesus said, we shall see God. Because if everyone is doing that, What do I see, Judy, when I look in your face? What's going to be looking back at me? God. When you look at me, what are you going to see? God. So if we have the guts to do this, to get our minds off of small s will, let divine will, big D, big W, in. When we decide to be kind to one another, we're going to see God. Jesus promised us. He's all in. That's what he calls us to be. Seeing always in front of us that one presence, that one power. Blessed when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then, blessed are you when men revile you. Two different things going on here. First one, blessed are you persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's nobody else mentioned in that beatitude, is there? Because this is an internal job. That's what that poor father in Rockwood was going through. He was pitted against himself. Because what he was confronting was something new and unfamiliar. And he didn't know what to do. So what do we all do? Remember, our brains, if you believe in evolution, our brains started forming hundreds of millions of years ago. And it started with the swamps and the reptiles. They call it the reptilian brain, right? What happens when you have a reptilian brain? Fight or flight. It's as basic to anyone. Even a child knows instinctually that if they touch something and it's hot, what do? Okay? That's the reptilian brain going on. Fight or flight, it's instinctual. And then a couple million years ago, we started having mammalian brains, mammals, dogs, cats, chimpanzees, elephants. And what do you see in that group of creation? You start seeing compassion. You start to see empathy. We get it from our dogs all the time. Sometimes we get it from our cats, sometimes not. Okay? But it's the beginning of what we call love, compassion. Empathy, thinking outside of ourselves. Even a mother cat takes care of her own. And then, about 100 million years ago, maybe even less, we get the prefrontal cortex, right? That's the human brain. The interesting thing about the human brain is that it's the part of us that says, whoops, that's hot. Whoops, that's uncomfortable. But you know what? I can walk on those coals if I really want to, if I trust enough, and you've seen people do it. It's that part of the brain that says, I'm uncomfortable, and decides that, okay, I can be uncomfortable, and I can still do X, Y, or Z. It's an internal job, this persecution for righteousness, because when we're confronted with it, the first battle that we have to do is an internal one with ourselves. It may happen in a second, in a moment. It may be a battle that lasts a lifetime. It surely was a long one for me until a 30-year-old woman who happens to be my kid took an imaginary 2x4 and bashed me upside my head with it. But thank goodness it came. Thank God it came. you know, this is a technology. Jesus gave us a technology for us to get comfortable being uncomfortable, and it's not easy. It hurts. But all fighting hurts. But the thing is, we cannot lose. The way Shower told us, you do this, you cannot lose. Be courageous. Because when Christian people, well, any people, it doesn't matter if you're a little C Christian or a little M Muslim or a little B Buddhist, when people continue to conform, when they continue to withdraw into themselves and build those walls, things don't change. But when people have courage, when people can talk to one another, that is when we can see progress. And it doesn't matter what's coming at you. What matters is what you're putting out there. It's going to take time. We've already wasted enough. Or, as someone said, I can't remember who at this right moment, why do we continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result? Life don't work that way, so it's time to break out of our small boxes and try something new. Can't hurt. Can't hurt. Again, this is not to bring shame into it, young white father. We're not trying to shame your children for being white. I don't want my black child to be ashamed of being black. That's what Black Lives Matter's partly about. Needs to focus on her for a change, what she's feeling, not what I'm feeling. And that's not a Christian thing. That's just being a parent. I understand that father out in Rockwood. I will challenge him if I ever get a chance to just try like I am, and hopefully you will be, to just get comfortable being uncomfortable. If we can do that, we will make that change. In closing, I'm going to quote from Dr. King, and I'm going to make it gender neutral because I like gender neutral. The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy. You are my sisters and brothers in unity. If I can't offer this to you, who can I offer it to? We are up to the challenge. We have the message. We have the message. We've had the message. And the challenge that I pose to myself is to meet everyone that I meet. As the video said, what can I do? Wasn't that part of it? What can I do? What is my calling? This is what I can do. This is what I can do. And that's what I want to call to mind when I'm confronted with the challenge of our time. Enjoy the Beatitudes. Oh, may I take this? It says to Tam. I don't know what it is. Thank you.